If you or someone you love struggles with a gambling addiction, please call 1-800-GAMBLER today. And please, gamble responsibly. Hello, everyone, and welcome into another episode of Sports Betting by Dummies. I am your host, Patty Parlays, and with me, as always, is Diz. Diz, how's it going?
Good. Great to be back. I had to take a flyer on the last pod, and the pod father was on, so I understand that me not being on the pod probably better ratings, so I'm kind of fighting for my life right now, but I'm happy to be here, Pat.
That is 100% factual. We did have the pod father on. It was a better episode, and you held a meeting at 5 p.m. on a Wednesday. Who does that?
I did that. It was a meeting I needed to schedule, and 5 o'clock was best for both of us, and I clearly forgot that I'm the co-host of a gambling podcast with 7 subscribers. That's on me.
In the words of Sunshine, it is a low-budget sports gambling podcast. So, but anyways, joining us again for the second straight episode is Dirty Mike. Dirty Mike, how's it going?
Going good. And the reason our ratings were so good last time is because I was on, not because Diz wasn't.
You're just totally ignoring the fact that the Podfather was on. I mean, the Podfather was electric. But anyway,
he said like 3 things.
That is correct. Yes. But, it's not about quantity. It's about quality. All right.
Never mind. I about said something heinous. Keep it moving.
Yep. I try to prevent things from happening on the show sometimes. So, let's just get right into it. We got an NBA playoff update. Jazz Clippers game 6 tonight. Despite the fact that there was no Kawhi, the Clippers actually won game 5. Now, an interesting point I had heard on Wednesday was that due to load management and injuries throughout the season, the Clippers are actually used to playing without Kawhi. So do we think that they will end up closing that out tonight?
I do.
Okay.
I don't have any. That's just a gut feeling. I'm not an NBA analyst like yourself.
Yeah.
I don't see it going one more. I really don't.
Yeah, it's certainly interesting. I don't know. This one has been particularly hard for me to handicap. I'm not sure how I feel about this game tonight. For Chris Paul and the Suns' sake, I hope it goes 7, so I hope the Jazz pull it off tonight. But we will see what happens. Now, the other series with the other game 6 tonight, we have 76ers Hawks. As Dirty Mike mentioned last episode, you know, trust the process. But another epic melt by the 76ers in the second half. So listen to this.
Don't you love how that just changed, like, just on a dime? It used to be, trust the process, 76ers are getting better. And now it's, trust the process, you know they'll blow it.
For the record, trust the process was a solid, like, 5-10 years ago. But, and on
paper, it never happened. That's why it's so funny to say.
I mean, the 76ers got the 1 seed in the East, so it's hard to say that they didn't trust the process and they're not in a great spot. But, anyways, so the Hawks outscored the 76ers 40-19 in the fourth quarter on Wednesday. Joel Embiid and Seth Curry were actually the only 76ers to score a field goal in the second half of that game. So, which brings
me...
What?
Is everyone healthy?
Yes. Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. So, my kind of question for you guys is, if the 76ers lose this series, does Doc Rivers go down as the most overrated coach in history and the coach that could never finish in the playoffs?
I would say, I think this is probably a hot take, and I don't follow the NBA that much. But I think the whole situation with Doc Rivers is heavily on recency bias. Because if you look back at Doc Rivers' career, like, he's won a title before, right? Like, he won one with Boston, right? That was a tough – like, they had to beat LeBron's Heat to get there, right?
I don't know if he had to beat LeBron's Heat to get there, but, yes, he does have one NBA championship.
Yes, so he did beat LeBron's team to get there, but it was, like – LeBron's first day in Cleveland, and their second best player was like Zildjunas Ilgauskas or something.
So then, no, it wasn't a super team like Diz was saying. It wasn't like when he was down at the Heat.
Yeah, he did. He beat the Cavs, but it was when it was the first go around with the Cavs with LeBron, and they had nobody good.
I think to say he could never finish is just not true, because he did. And obviously, like, so much of legacies in sports are recency bias. That's why, like, that's why Tom Brady's the GOAT right now. If Tom Brady had three shitty years, we'd be having a different discussion. But the fact that he's probably going to retire at the best of his ability and, like, winning Super Bowls. So, I don't know. I think recency bias plays a part. If Doc Rivers got fired and coached the Pacers, I would be excited. I don't know about you guys, but, like, I don't know. Maybe that's just me being a fan of a small market NBA team that's never going to make the NBA Finals, but I don't know. I think the criticisms on him is a little harsh. It's obviously relevant, but I don't know. Maybe that's just me not knowing anything about the NBA.
Well, see, I'm glad you brought all that up and answered that. So, first off, yes, we would be ecstatic if Doc Rivers came to coach the Pacers, because the Pacers are a small market team. They generally don't do anything. And we are currently without a coach. So, yes, I agree with you. If Doc Rivers came here, he would be seen as, like, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, I do have some stats for you, Diz, about Doc Rivers' career. So, he is the only coach in NBA history to have three series in the postseason or in the playoffs where they lost after having a 3-1 series lead. He has a 51% win percentage in the postseason, which, to be honest, I don't know if that's good or bad. I just know he's
not horrible at all.
It's not good, it's not great, right? Or it's not good, it's not bad. It's pretty standard. I don't know what the standard for a
actually pretty good, Pat. I mean, there's only good teams in the NBA, so having a 51% is meaning you're winning more games than you're losing in the playoff.
Yep, and that's fair. Again, I wasn't sure where that put him, but I just did want to throw that out there. He does have one NBA championship, like Diz said, but he's coached for 22 years. His teams finished first in their division 8 times, but only made the finals twice. So I think Doc Rivers is seen as a great coach because he can always lead his teams, regardless of their skill level, to, you know, a top seed in their division. But then when it comes to the playoffs, they just can't finish. But anyways,
maybe this is a whole bigger discussion, but I don't know how big of a part the coach plays in that. I mean, he's not the one on the floor taking shots. Like,
fair. But at a certain point, I mean, and I think more so now than in recent years, you're absolutely correct. You know, the players, even sometimes the players are making the play calls or who's in and who's out and stuff like that. But I mean, the coaches do have some say, like who's in at certain points of the games and this, that, or the other. I mean, Ben Simmons, I mean, why is he on the floor at all in the fourth quarter if he can't shoot a free throw?
Well, you're right there. I mean, just Embiid and Curry's the only one scoring. I mean, like you said, that's the issue to me, not the coaching. But anyways.
Yep. But game 6 tonight in that series, do you guys have any thoughts on this one? I want the Hawks to win. I'm thinking this one goes 7. But do you guys have any thoughts on that?
I would say, just from an outsider's perspective, I hope it goes 7. I think that game 7 would be electric, and I think that doesn't necessarily give us a final answer to your Doc Rivers question, but I think Doc Rivers against Nate McMillan in a game 7, no matter what you think about Doc Rivers in the playoffs, I think Doc Rivers is who I'd rather have coaching my team in a game 7. So I hope I see a game 7, and do you guys agree with me on that take?
Yeah, game 7s are great. I mean, doesn't matter what sport you're in, game 7s gets juices going.
I meant on the Doc Rivers, Nate McMillan head coaching matchup.
You'd rather have Doc Rivers?
In a game 7, yes. Because as a Pacers fan, we never saw a game 5 from Nate McMillan.
Exactly. And that's what's so different about this is Nate McMillan has just been, you know, cruising through these playoffs. And, you know, since he was on the Hawks, they've just been unbelievable. You would think, you know, Doc Rivers has the experience. He's been in plenty of game 7s. You would think that's who you would take. But with the way this Hawks team is playing, man, I don't know. I might take the Hawks in game 7.
Doesn't the whole coaching thing go back, though? Like, Nate McMillan's winning because Trae Young's scoring 40 points. Like, he never won with the Pacers because we didn't have anyone that could score 40 points.
Possibly, yeah, fair. But, you know, the 76ers have three different players that could score 40 points, but they're losing. But anyways, moving on. Oh, do you have something you'd like to add, Dirty Mike?
No, I guess my opinions don't matter.
Well, at least you're aware of that. moving on, let's go to the ice. Diz, game three of the semifinals tonight. Canadiens Golden Knights series is tied 1-1 going into Montreal. As I expected, every game the series has gone under 5.5 due to tremendous goalies. I don't know where this number is now, but if it gets to 5, I mean, you got to hammer the over, right?
I've actually been monitoring this. I'm really surprised that it hasn't gone to 5. Right before the pod, I checked to make sure it is still at 5.5. But honestly, not super upset about the lack of goal scoring. Like, it's honestly just electric to watch. I want to see pucks in the net, but this is just a great series. I hope it goes far. I just don't know if it can. But
yeah.
I'm hoping I would love a freaking game 7. I know that's very long shot with how great the Knights are, but still, man, I'm juiced. I'm excited. And I hope we get some couple good hockey matchups between these two teams this weekend. We got one tonight and Sunday, correct?
As far as I know, I don't know if that next game is Sunday, but the way the NHL's been going, it's been every other night. So yeah, I assume.
That's what I think. Yeah.
But don't sleep on my Canadians. I have tons of futures on them, and so don't sleep on them.
I'm not sleeping on them, but I mean,
you think they're outclassed? They're actually only like plus 200 on the puck line tonight, I think.
That's nuts. That is way high value, Pat. What do you mean only plus 200?
Well, every other game they've been like plus 350. So,
yeah, they definitely were slept on. That's why we were talking about that early value. But of course, Vegas wins game one. So, Vegas just is smarter than we are, and we just got to admit that.
Yep, and that's why even though Kawhi was out, I still took Clippers money line, even though everyone was jumping on the Jazz, and I made some easy money on the Clippers that Wednesday.
You bet that before you knew Kawhi was out, you sandbagging son of a bitch.
That's correct, but sometimes you just got to stick with your guns there, and I did, and it was nice. I did get a couple side sauce bets on that, too, with Reggie Jackson and Marcus Morris, so it was a pretty nice night. It is Friday, so obviously we do have some celeb bets, and actually we only have one, but the Podfather, he gave us a celeb bet. He thinks that the Nets win the series tomorrow over the Bucks.
I agree with him. I'm not teasing my I'm not giving anything away, but I agree with the Podfather.
I don't know, man. This series has been a weird one too, because as soon as Harden came back, Kyrie Irving got hurt. Everyone and their mother was saying that the Nets were going to win last night, and the bet on the over for James Harden points and whatever, and it just didn't hit. And it was another one where the public was severely wrong. I think the easy bet for tomorrow is the Nets, but I don't know, and I don't know if Kyrie is playing. If all three are playing, I think it's a pretty easy Nets bet, but if one of the three is out, I think you got to consider looking at the Bucks. I mean, granted, Chris Middleton was out of his mind last night, but I don't know.
I think I just love the value of the Nets. Like, to me, I just don't. The Nets are just a better team. They have more talent. Even if two of the three play, they're a better team. So, I don't know. I just like the number. I like the odds, the money line odds. So I'm with the Podfather.
All right. Well, let's review best bets from Wednesday. I went 2-1. The one I missed was the 76ers due to their melt. I mean, the 76ers were up 20-some points going into the fourth, and they ended up losing. So, but shout out to the Podfather who joined us last episode and said he was taking the Hawks. So he nailed that one. So maybe he's right on with his Nets pick for tomorrow. Well, let's get into our best bets of the night. I've got three MLB picks for you guys tonight. We'll start off with Rockies Brewers, first five under 5.5 runs. So the Brewers are the worst hitting team in baseball against righties. And then the Brewers starting pitcher Burns has an ERA of 2.27 with an expected ERA of 1.51. So I am hoping poor offense of the Brewers, matched up with their phenomenal starter for them, will result in very few runs scored, at least early on. The only thing that worries me is it is in Colorado, and we all know that the ball flies out in the Rockies. But I'm still going first five under 5.5 here. The next one I have, we have Blue Jays, Orioles, first five over 5.5. So both teams are starting lefties. The Orioles are the third best hitting team against lefties, and the Blue Jays are the eighth best team in hitting lefties. And then on top of that, the Orioles ballpark is a hitter-friendly ballpark. I actually have a stat that I look at. I think it's, I find it on ESPN, but it's called like a ballpark rating. And so if you have a rating that's above one, then it's a hitter friendly ballpark. And then if you have a number that's below one, it's a pitcher friendly ballpark. And so the Orioles park is higher up in that scale. And then to add on top of that, the weather at game time has 9 mph winds blowing out. So a few balls that would be pop-ups at like the warning track might just end up being dingers. So give me the first five over 5.5 in the Blue Jays Orioles. And then my final best bet of the night, we're going Cardinals Braves first five over 5.5 as well. So what? Okay, never mind. I think we just got an echo there, but we're good. The Cardinals are pitching Carlos Martinez, who is an over magnet. He has a 5.54 ERA on the season. The Braves are pitching lefty Max Fried. He has a 4.62 ERA on the season. The Cardinals are the ninth best in the league against left-handed pitching. Braves are 12th in the league against right-handed pitching. And the wind is blowing out 7 mph as well. So I like the first five over 5.5 in that one. Diz, what do you like for your best bets of the night?
All right, so I got three. And I'm walking to my house, so if I lose comms, just wait longer. I got three, and they're three different sports. Patty, do you want to guess what sports they are?
Oh, dear God. One's got to be... Oh, I don't know. One's got to be hockey.
Yeah.
I'm thinking one might even be golf.
Nope.
Oh, man. There's no way you're going like MLB or NBA.
Those are my other two, bub.
Really? Wow, look at you branching out.
Yeah, I'm mixing it up. I just, in honor of Sunshine, he's literally on my way to my house right now. I don't know why he's off the plane. In his honor, I'm taking the Reds money line. The Reds are hot. They had a heartbreaker last night, no doubt about it. They scored four runs in the ninth to take the lead, and then the Padres scored four runs in the ninth to win the game. So Reds bullpen still sus, but our bats are hot, our team's hitting, and the Reds are hot in general, even though it was a tough one last night. So I'm expecting a bounce back, and I'm loving the value. Plus 164. I know it's biased because I'm a Reds fan, but we're hitting better than anyone in the National League. So plus 164 to a team that's red hot. See what I did there? Red's hot.
Yeah. Clever.
Plus 164, I'm taking it. So that's my MLB. Betting with my heart. Be cautious, of course. My NBA, following the Podfather, love the Nets at minus 110. I just don't see them losing this series. I think they're way more talented. They've been plagued with injuries. It's just been a weird series. But it's a game I'm probably going to watch. And I like the value of the Nets as a favorite only at minus 110. And then my last one, you know what it is when it comes to the NHL. It is over 5.5 tonight. Nothing new there. I was waiting for this to drop to five, like I mentioned, but I just really, I'm wanting pucks on net, something else I'm probably going to be watching along with. So that's just something you want to bet on when you're watching. So those are my three. Nothing too crazy, nothing different than what I normally bet on, but ready to watch some sports tonight and betting on the games that I'm going to watch. So that's a big thing for me is if it makes betting for me, I don't really make a lot of money, even though my best bets hit all the time. Really don't profit, so I bet on stuff that I can watch to make the stuff that I watch more fun. So that's where I'm at. I'm on a heater, but hey, we're going for it.
So A couple things, and it's mainly about the Reds. Anytime Amir Garrett's in the game, that's never good for the Reds fans.
That's correct, but you got to think he probably won't play tonight because he blew it yesterday. Lucas Sims is technically our closer, and he didn't play last night because he's played like 7 games in a row. So he's going to be back tonight.
How does Garrett still have a job?
I don't know.
Pretty stupid.
He has to have like a 10 ERA or something.
It's pretty stupid.
But
if I did as bad as him at my job, I would be fired.
We all would. Yeah, that's correct.
His job is to get people out, not lose the game. Like, he loses the game every time he pitches.
And he gets paid way more than any of us do, too. But that's neither here nor there.
Not after my best bets hit tonight, but
it's not your job. It's your hobby. But anyways, that's why I try to emphasize to you, Diz, that you need to take Red's first five. You don't have to worry about the bullpen.
Yeah, we would have lost last night first five. We were down the whole game. We scored 4 in the ninth. So I don't want to hear that shit either.
I took the Reds first five plus a half run and that cashed. So suck on my balls. But
how did that cash? We were down 1-0.
It was 0-0 after five.
Bro, I thought we were down 1-0.
Nope. Mike, you're sounding very Robotronic right now. I don't know what's going on.
Mike, you sound like Stephen Hawking.
Okay, that wasn't necessary.
I mean, is that not what he sounds like? No disrespect, you guys are a legend.
Confirming the suck on it for Diz.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I might be as smart as him.
That was the only thing we heard.
Yeah, we only heard we might be as smart as him, but anyways, Diz, I'm telling you, man, like tonight I'm able to get, and I have it in my Hail Mary parlay, so we will get there, but I'm getting Red's first five plus a half a run at plus 118.
Oh, that's pretty good value.
And then you don't have to worry about the Reds' stupid bullpen blowing the game. But anyways, Mike, do you have any best bets for the night? I don't know if maybe you... I don't know.
I do, actually.
Oh, look at this guy. All right, what do you got?
You guys hear me?
Yeah.
So, FanDuel, repping the FanDuel, got an odds boost for Yankees and Dodgers to both win, going out at plus 200. So jumped all over that. Dodgers are playing the Diamondbacks, who haven't won since
1989. We lost that, but yeah, you're right. The Diamondbacks haven't won in like 20
good about
games.
The Dodgers winning. The Yankees are playing the.
It's funny, you know, Mike's on this Walmart connection over here. But we've actually had an episode where he was literally calling in from Walmart and he got better connection.
I'm sorry, Janice.
Yeah. I don't know if Mike had anything else, but he did like the Yankees and the Dodgers and that boost from FanDuel at plus 200 odds.
Mike, we got you on comms. Do we have you on comms before we give up on you? Mike, do we have you on comms? Bark twice if you're in Milwaukee.
All right, guess not.
Yeah, I mean, I can hear you guys. Can you hear me?
There he is. There we go.
Damn it, Pat. Can you guys not hear me?
Yeah.
You guys got me now?
We did not hear the bark. But go on.
So, yeah, that was my only one, and I was just going to say the Dodgers are playing the Diamondbacks, and the Diamondbacks haven't won since 1999. The Yankees are playing the Yankees are playing the A's, which I don't feel as great about that one, but to get plus 200 for the two of them, I'd say that's pretty good. Pretty good value.
Yeah, it's not bad. I'm actually going the other way in that Yankees game, but it's still maybe worth a sprinkle at plus 200 odds. All right, let's get into the Hail Mary parlay of the day. We got $1 to win $943.15. We are going all 10 of these on the diamond tonight. I'm done trying to hedge my feelings in the NBA and the NHL, so I'm just going to the diamond here. Indians, first five minus a half versus the Pirates. Blue Jays, Orioles, first five over 5.5 runs. Nationals, first five money line versus the Mets. Athletics, first five money line versus the Yankees. Cardinals, Braves, first five over 5.5. Brewers, Rockies, first five under 5.5. Dodgers, Diamondbacks, first five under 4.5. Giants, first five minus a half a run versus the Phillies. Reds first five plus a half run versus the Padres, and then finally Mariners first five money line versus the Rays. All right, you gentlemen, have anything you want to get off your chest before we wrap this thing up?
I just want to say I'm very happy that the U.S. Open isn't insanely difficult this year. I think this is the perfect level of how difficult a course should be, where like the winning score is going to be like 9 or 10 under par as opposed to like 1 over. The U.S. Open can be difficult. Like 10 under is still like not a great score. So I'm loving this. I haven't watched a second of it yet because I've been busy at work. So I'm excited to watch that this weekend. I didn't throw any cheddar on it, but I'm confident I'm going to win our family bracket. So best of luck to you guys, but you guys don't have a chance.
Right. Like I mentioned.
Hey, Diz.
Go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to say, it's still early, bud. Wait for the USGA to destroy this course and make it a shit show on the weekend like they always do. They're going to dry out the greens. They're going to not cut the rough. Come Sunday, it's just going to be a bloodbath like it always is.
That's dumb.
Just wait for it.
And like I already mentioned, it's a great week to be a Patrick. And I have both Patricks in our family pool, and I put money on them on FanDuel. So when all that cash is Diz, you'll be the one that can suck it.
Wow. Sure thing.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. This weekend is Father's Day. Shout out to the Podfather. And just make sure that you love them and give them thanks. It doesn't even have to be your actual father. It can be anyone who was a mentor to you or a father figure or whatever. Thank them as well. We thank all the fathers out there. And have a great weekend, and we'll see you all on Monday.